Terror, brought to you by Victor Lacoste. Joyeux Noël from gay old Perry, and from me, Victor Lacoste. Au revoir, Perry, you happy fellow. I'll join you for a Christmas croissant in the morning. Apologies. My temporary neighbor Perry was just stopping by for a visit. You see, I'm spending the Yuletide season in France this year. And not alone. Yes, old Victor has met someone, and he's head over heels. Not Perry, but the Trey Bell Belinda Beluga. A dancer with the world-famous Croquettes. Basically the French version of the Rockettes. Yes, Belinda has captured my heart and invited me to spend the holidays with her here in Paris, the last stop of her European holiday dance tour. Though she also invited her son, Gerbert, to stay with us for Christmas. I suppose I can't blame her for wanting to spend the holidays with her son. He is all the family she's got. But Gerbert is just so... He's so... Gerbert is sort of... Gerbert just sucks, okay? If Gerbert looked up the definition of mama's boy in the dictionary, he'd need his mother to open the book and help him find his picture next to it. Oh, cut the umbilical cord already. He's 42 years old and he hasn't even kissed a girl. By that age, I'd already been thrice divorced, and two of my ex-wives had tried to snuff out my life. Yes, I have been buried alive, though that was unrelated. But alas, I would spend any amount of time with Gerbert just to spend a moment with Belinda, which is why I'll be spending Christmas Eve with the dear boy, making gingerbread houses, listening to Christmas carols, and hanging Christmas stockings while trying not to hang myself. And once Belinda has finished her Croquettes performance at the famed Le Trou de Clochard-Pouan Theatre, she'll return home, and Père Noël can slide down her chimney. Once she showered, of course. Yes, it's a night I'm looking most forward to. Our home for the holidays is a delightful duplex right along the canal, tastefully decorated with twinkling lights and cedar garland. The scent fills my lungs with merriment. And we have quite the view of a certain tower. Yes, the exquisite croquembouche in the window of the Café Caca Dégoutant. I tell you, if the Seine wasn't between us, I would have scarfed that bad boy. Scarfed and snarfed till I was stuffed. Luckily, I have my own kitchen at my disposal. At this moment, it's filled with the aromas of a luxuriant feast. In the oven, my succulent bacon-stuffed pork tenderloin-stuffed ham. The triple oinker, as I call it. The fat will seep through your pores like sweat until the new year. A snifter of brandy sits at the ready, and if Gerbert continues to sing along to every song, that snifter will be snuffed out shortly. This Christmas Eve couldn't get any worse.
Gone, they told me, far of a vampire. A new barking to see a rumpa-pum-pum. Our finest guests we bring
rumpa-pum-pum. Gerbert. Gerbert.
Yes, Mr. Lacoste?
You know, your mother is a world-class dancer.
Yes, she is.
Well, unfortunately, you inherited her singing.
Oh, thank you. Wait. But Mama is a dancer.
Yes, I was implying... never mind. Gerbert, just turn off the radio.
Performances by the All Dog Choir will continue this weekend. I suppose Bark, the Herald Angel sings. In less important news, police are asking the public to be cautious and employ extra safety measures after a homicidal maniac has escaped the institution where he was being held.
Oh my word, Did you hear that, Gerbert? That anchor has an atrocious accent. Change the channel.
The suspect has already attacked and stolen the clothes of a mall Santa. Police warrant.
So, what should we do now?
Well, I'm going to enjoy a warm brandy as I await my triple oinker to finish squealing in the oven. Would you like me to fix you something for dinner, Gerbert?
Maybe some toast?
Oh, buttered or with jam?
No, like toast? Toast. Toast from here.
Do you mean French toast, Gerbert?
I think they just call it toast here.
Actually, they call it pan perdu.
Actually, that's called a frying pan, and that's what they cook it in. You would just mess it up anyway. Mommy knows how to make it right. You don't get me.
I'm trying, Gerbert.
No, you're not. You won't even play Super Nintendo with me.
But I've told you, how can I play Super Nintendo when I haven't played nor seen the original? I'll be completely lost and at a disadvantage. Why don't we try playing a game of chess?
It's pronounced cheese, and you eat it. I thought you were supposed to be sophisticated, not playing with the food like a ding-dong.
Perhaps you should go for a walk. Get some fresh air and leave me to scream out my frustrations.
You sound like Mama. But I can't go for a walk without someone to hold my hand when I cross the road. And I don't want to go for a walk with you.
Well, it just so happens that I do not wish to hold your hand. Perhaps I will go for the walk then. I stepped into the quiet respite of the Parisian night. Downy flakes of snow fluttered gently to the ground. My ire slowly drained from me in the present calm, and I began to feel silly for getting myself so worked up at Gerbert. So silly. I'm such a silly little goose for allowing myself to grow so aggrieved. So silly. Such a silly, nilly-willy, dumb little bitcheroo of a goose. As my temper waned, my yearning for Belinda grew stronger. Right now, she would be on stage, dancing and prancing and dropping that thing like a hot buttered biscuit. It had long been a dream of mine to marry a dancer, and then divorce her and two other women and marry a better dancer years later. Perhaps Belinda Beluga could be that second dancer and fourth wife. I'm sure I could even learn to love Gerbert, just as I've learned to eventually love broccoli, tight little short shorts on men, and Dane Cook. Only one of which used to make me vomit viciously. In time, I suppose I could swallow my vomit and appreciate Gerbert as a son. After all, it is Christmas. Ah, yes. You can feel that holiday cheer in the air. Somewhere in the city, church bells ring out, signaling that part of the holiday, whatever it is. Near to me, I hear the choral singing of carolers. The merry melody melts whatever ice was left in my heart from my earlier disagreement with Gerbert. I'm all smiles now, strolling along the frosty sidewalks. I feel a song within my own soul rising, eager to be set free. Well, all right. I was working in the shop. Late one eve, when my eyes beheld a cheery scene, for my reindeer from my sleigh began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, they did the Christmas mash. It was a Yuletide smash. It caught on in a flash. They did the Christmas mash from my workshop in the North Pole East to the outside stables where the reindeer feast. The elves all came from their tiny homes to get a snack and some hot cocoa. They did the Christmas mash. It was a Yuletide smash. It caught on in a flash. They did the Christmas mash. Frosty was having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Jack Frost, Dracula, and his son. All were digging the sounds. The scene was rockin'. Elves decked the halls and they hung up stockings. The Christmas tree was up and looking legit. Like Rudolph's nose, this party was lit.
They played the mash.
They played the Christmas mash.
The Christmas mash.
It was the Yuletide smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the Christmas mash. All the creatures were steering. Even the mouse. Mrs. Claus ate a whole gingerbread house. Krampus came and he danced and twirled before taking all the naughty boys and girls. It's now the Christmas mash. It was a Yuletide smash. It caught on in a flash. It's now the Christmas mash. The party's still hopping, I'm singing ho ho ho. But it's Christmas Eve, so I've got to go. I hop on my sleigh, my reindeer took flight. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Then you can Christmas mash. And do my Yuletide smash. You'll catch on in a flash. And you can Christmas mash. Mash good. Well, thanks for the help, Mr. Mouse.
You're welcome, Mr. Richter. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Mouse. And a Happy New Year. I may have borrowed that melody from somewhere. If you listen closely, you might be able to figure it out. Oh, what a night. Well, my nips are freezing, so I'd best be getting back to the abode. And I think it best that I apologize to Gerbert. He can't help it that he's a mama's boy. Heck, I wish I was as close as he is with Belinda. Closer, even. I strolled merrily along the snow-fallen streets, back to the familiar exterior of our holiday home. But, something outside seems amiss. Why, outside our neighbor Perry's door, someone seems to have spilled a large amount of spaghetti sauce. Either that, or some drunkard has gotten too sloshed with a bottle of wine and spilled its contents. Or perhaps the Kool-Aid man had pina coladas and urinated all over the sidewalk. And of course, one would assume that his urine is also Kool-Aid red. Though it doesn't smell of wine, nor spaghetti, nor Kool-Aid. 3 cents I'm quite familiar with. There isn't a 3-star restaurant that doesn't contain all three. Stranger still is the fact that there seems to have been some sort of struggle, which does lend credence to my sloshed spillee theory. Yet even this seems to be too chaotic, too violent for it to be self-imposed. Even stranger still, the fact that next door, our door, happens to be wide open. I have an urge to enter with rage of a lion and chastise Gerbert, but something nags me. Perhaps it's the newfound Christmas spirit and desire to bond with the young man. Perhaps it's the strange scene laid out right next door. Perhaps it's what appears to be a bloodied severed tongue lying upon the stoop. Yes, something nags me. An idea that something is not quite right. Also, the idea that if something had happened to Gerbert, I may not be able to fill Miss Beluga's stocking tonight. I dash inside, closing the door behind me. The kitchen is a mess. Has there been a struggle? Thoughts of Gerbert, harmed and bleeding, race through my mind. Gerbert? Gerbert, are you here?
Mr. Claus?
Oh, Gerbert. I'm so relieved that you're all right. What happened here? What's this mess?
Oh, that. I was sort of cheese and beefy after we had our argument, so it worked up quite an appetite. I really wanted some toast, but I was so gosh dee rattled that I forgot all the steps to make it. I couldn't remember if you cracked the eggs or just tossed them in the bowl, show them all.
You cracked them.
Dang it. Then I couldn't remember if you used milk or dyed Dr. Pepper to mix it.
Milk.
Dang it. Strike two. And I couldn't remember if you added cinnamon or cinnamon.
Cinnamon, or something similar.
Phew. Then I forgot all about the toast part and just drank it. It was not as good as what Mama makes. Then I thought I saw sand outside the window, so I ran to the door. But when I opened it, there's only a bunch of Christmas carolers. They were pretty good. But then, for some reason, my tummy got all rumbly. So I ran to the bathroom and guess what?
Everything was fine?
I wish. Soup, poop, city. You know how some people get the runs? I got the sprints. Squirting tumble up so hard I'm getting lift off. Tutor scooter shootout in the friggin' Concord to run for some money.
Yes. Well, you certainly know how to paint a...
toilet?
I was going to say picture. You're a regular Georges Sorat.
Yeah. I'm going to have a sore ass in the morning.
I'm sure. But are you feeling better now? Let me help clean you up.
Do you really mean it?
I do, Gerbert. Look, I'm sorry that I got upset with you earlier. I don't have any children of my own. My testicles were pecked to pieces by ravens one fateful day whilst I was sun-tanning in Bucharest. My plums pruned by their beaks, now only resembling shriveled sultanas. Anyway, I suppose what I'm trying to say is I'm not the nurturing type, but I'd like to give it a shot.
Okay, Mr. Lacoste.
Hey, call me Victor.
You got it, Victor.
Yeah. Actually, I don't like that. Let's stick with Mr. Lacoste.
10-4, Mr. Lacoste. And hey, I'm super sorry about your nards.
Don't worry. I got my revenge.
That's great. Also, Mr. Lacoste, I think I may still be a little woozy. I think I see Santa Claus outside the window again.
Oh no. Alrighty, let's get you to bed.
No, wait. I think that he really might be out there.
Oh, Gerbert, that sounds ridiculous. You're a grown man. And now I'm looking and I don't see any Santa Claus.
But I swear, I seen him.
Gerbert, don't start acting up now that we're getting along.
But...
no buts. Go get into your jammy jams and brush your teeth. My triple loinker should be just about ready. I'll fix us each a plate. Now go. Yeah, yeah.
Aww.
I tidied the mess that Gerbert had left in the kitchen. I wasn't ready to clean the mess he had left in his pants. Perhaps it was the peculiar red splattered sight outside, or perhaps it was how Gerbert insisted on what he had seen, but that nagging feeling had returned. I turned to the front window and could have sworn that I'd seen the crimson red of a Santa hat duck out of sight. Surely I was only imagining things. It is Christmas Eve, after all. I've been seeing Père Noël everywhere. Yet... I turned my attention back to the oven. My mouth was watering at just the thought of tugging into that sumptuous triple oinker. I drew open the oven and... gasp! Empty! Gerbert, get down here right this instant! Yet we've eaten it in this raw egg-fueled delirium. Gerbert!
What is it, Mr. Lacoste?
My triple oinker. You didn't.
Then what?
Did you eat it? That's too much pork for any one person to consume. Come here, let me squeeze you and see if any lard seeps through your pores.
No, please, Mr. Lacoste, don't squeeze me. Something else will come out. Plus, it couldn't have been me. Mommy doesn't let me open the oven in case I fall in and get trapped in there again. I once broiled my back hair off.
That does sound plausible. Let me at least take a closer look and...
Mr. Lacoste!
Oh, I'm all right. Thank you, Gerbert. I seem to have slipped on... pork grease. There's a trail of pork grease leading away from the oven. It must lead to the one who stole my oinker.
It goes this way.
Right towards...
oh no, I'm seeing Santa again. I'd better go truck some more Pepto.
No, wait. I saw him too, outside the front window. He must have taken my oinker. Come, Gerbert, let's put him on the naughty list. Aha! Oh.
I don't see him.
Nor do I. There's not even a footprint in the freshly fallen snow, but I could have sworn...
I'm sure I seen him too. Maybe we're both losing it.
Perhaps we are. Come, let's get back inside. Why don't you continue cleaning up, Gerbert? Your mother should be done her dancing. I'll give her a call and ask her to pick up something for dinner. Belinda, my beloved, how did your show go?
Victor, dear, the show was marvelous. The croquettes were sizzling.
Crispy.
How has your night been, darling? I hope Gerby hasn't been too much of a handful.
Oh, we've had our moments. We actually had a problem with dinner, and I was wondering if you could pick up something on the way home.
Of course. Would you like canned Kentucky Fried Chicken, Strasburger, Eiffel Tummy, Arby's?
As my love listed restaurants, I saw something that made my heart drop to the pit of my stomach. From behind the sofa arose a ragged man dressed in the tattered, blood-stained red velvet of old Saint Nick. We had seen Santa, not outside our window, but reflected from inside the house. His raspy breath ruffled the fake whiskers on his face until they fell away. Relief washed over me. It was Perry. He must be spreading Christmas cheer. Oh, Perry.
Victor, are you still there?
I'm sorry, dear. Yes, I'm here. Our neighbor, Perry, stopped by dressed as Santa Claus to get us in the spirit.
Who?
Santa Claus. You know who I mean. Jolly fellow, white beard.
Oh, Santa. That's nice, but wait, who's Perry?
Our neighbor in the attached house.
But, Victor, there is no one living next door.
Could you repeat that?
There's no one living in the home next door.
But, well, now that would mean... My mind flashed back through specific moments from earlier in the night that stood out now with this new context. The red stains outside in the snow, it was blood. The story from the news anchor.
The suspect has already attacked and stolen the clothes of a mall Santa. Please...
My conversation with Perry before I started this story. Sorry, I'm just searing this triple oinker. It gets a bit noisy. You said you lived next door?
No, I said I used to live here years ago. But then I killed my family on Christmas Eve, and they locked me in an institution, which I escaped from tonight to kill again. I'll cut you like a pig.
Yes, it is a stuffed pig. Three types of pig.
I'm going now.
Yes, joyeux Noël from gay old Perry. And from me, Victor Lacoste. Dear me, he's been a killer this entire time. Maybe I can play this cool. Perry! What's up, bud? I was just about to hit the hay. You'll probably want to hit the old dusty trail and we'll catch up tomorrow. Cool? Cool. Alright, bye.
Not so fast.
Okay, hey, we're cool. I'm just going to move slowly then over to these stairs here and
Someone's in here.
Gerbert, you were seeing Santa Claus. It was Perry. He's a homicidal maniac.
What do we do?
First, I need you to do a courtesy flush. The potpourri in here is fighting for its life. Second, we need a way out. Oh, curse these tiny French bathroom windows. There's no way we can squeeze through here.
Maybe if we had some kind of grease to squeeze through.
That's it. Gerbert, you genius. That's how we'll win. Perry, we'll come out in a moment and you can butcher our bodies and do what you like with the remains. Just take a step back. I have a question to ask you. Consider it a last request.
All right, mon ami.
I hope you know what you're doing, Mr. Lacoste.
Me too. Now zip up and let's go. Wipe first, you animal. All right. Easy, easy, Perry.
What's your final request before je t'étrangère de la gorge à l'anus?
Yes, of course. I was just curious what you thought of my delectable triple oinker. You must have eaten it, didn't you, after butchering those carolers?
You mean that hunk of meat I found in the oven? It was pretty tasty, a little salty. Personally, I would have finished it in a maple Dijon glaze, but that's just me.
How pedestrian, but yes. And I bet you worked up quite a sweat running up these stairs, especially in that velvet Santa suit.
Yes, I suppose I have. I must have starred in Hot Shots.
You act?
No, I just... I suppose you can call me Charlie.
Why would I do that? Your name is Perry, is it not?
It is. I'm just Sheen. Charlie Sheen. I'm glistening with sweat. I have a sheen. Charlie Sheen. I suppose I could have said Martin, too. Yes, I'm sweaty.
Ah, good. Well, we best be done with it then. Time to stab us. Make sure you grip that knife nice and tight.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that. What?
Ah, my plan was a success. The oinker had quickly made its way through Perry's system, and the grease had found its way out his pores. His skin shined like a tree covered in tinsel. He bobbled the knife, unable to secure a hold with his slick hands. His balance was thrown askew as he tried to gain control of his blade. Unfortunately, that led him right to the lip of the stairs.
Is he...
Yes. Dead. It seems this night of Christmas evil has come to an end, as we say meilleur voeu to Mr. Scare Noel.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Lacoste.
Merry Christmas to you, Gerbert. And Merry Christmas to you, dear listener. But remember, you'd better watch out, because this Santa Claus might be coming to your town.
That was Victor Lacoste, bringing you The Lacoste of Terror. Also starring in this story, Scare Noel, were Bronson Branston, Dick Richard Terwilliger Humphreys, Nicolette Decolletage, and Fran Blerbelies. Scare Noel was first recounted by Hank Spanky, dramatized by Sir Robin Mahinies, produced by Sully and Sally Sillywinks.